96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live. I'm Shabag Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust you are doing well. I'm in the second city of the country, Freeport, Grand Bahama. It's a breezy, cool, but sunny day here in Grand Bahama. We're going to talk about Grand Bahama today. If you want to give us a call at all on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. You can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. ETC Flow Channel 612. So, I'm in Grand Bahama, and I have no way of knowing empirically what the state of Grand Bahama's economy is now compared to, say, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I have no numbers. I have no gross domestic product numbers for the island. I have no employment numbers for the island. So anything I say about the island's economy is largely anecdotal. And so let me say, starting off, that there is no question in my mind, anecdotally speaking, that there is a bit of an uptick in economic activity in Grand Bahama. If the traffic, if the activity in the stores, if some of the mood I see is an indication of anything compared to, say, when I was here 3, 4 years ago, there is an uptick in economic activity and, I imagine, expectation here in Grand Bahama. Now, where that is coming from, again, I can't really say. I really can't say. And I'm not comparing Grand Bahama to last year, where the pandemic would have been taking a toll on every segment of the economy, or to the year before that. I'm comparing it to 3, 4 years ago when the mood and the activity and the economics was really, really saying something difficult and challenging for the people here. And by no stretch of the imagination am I also saying that my mom is doing great, everybody's well, that unemployment isn't high on this island. I'm not even saying that either. All I'm saying is that, relatively speaking, there seems to be a bit of an uptick in Grand Bahama, and that's something that I've observed anecdotally and something that I have heard from other people. Now, don't forget, and I said this on this show before, Grand Bahama has been in an economic doldrum for well going on 20 years. I mean, that's a long time. And so where New Providence, as an example, would feel a huge drop in economic activity because of, say, a pandemic, even Dorian's hit on Grand Bahama's economy would not have been like the huge, massive drop in economic circumstances because the island was doing economically bad for so long that, you know, the drop isn't as steep a drop as you would get, say, in a Grand Bahama, as well as experienced, for instance, in Abaco as a consequence of Dorian. So in the reverse, if there is something, whatever it is, maybe more travel, you know, whatever it is, that provides some new injection into Grand Bahama, and it you feel it more. It's like when you are vitamin deprived, some vitamins and minerals are not in your system, and I mean it severely so. When you get a little bit in your system, it does a great deal. But somebody who is not so vitamin deprived, when they take the same supplement, they don't get to feel the difference, right? Because their severity and circumstances wasn't as great. So Grand Bahama could benefit from small incremental positive changes and feel that more than, say, a small incremental change in Nassau might feel. So to my mind, there is a bit of uptick on the island. But now, I raised Grand Bahama that way because I'm reading the Nassau Guardian, I'm reading a story by Travis Carter Carroll, and the story is about the fact that the government of the Bahamas has canceled the Grand Lucayan deal. You will recall that the Minnis administration entered into an agreement, and actually to an agreement to purchase the Grand Lucayan Resort in Grand Bahama from the Hutchison Whampoa Group, massive Chinese group, shipping entity. And that purchase was supposed to be for $50 billion. I think there was some initial payment made and then some part of it that would be paid over time. And then it turned around and entered into a sales agreement with an entity known as the Port Investment, the Bahamas Port Investment Limited, which was a joint venture between Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and the ITM Group. And they were supposed to purchase the property to develop it to the tune of $300 million, inclusive of the refurbishment of the 500-room, to renovate, reconstruct 500 rooms in phase one, and then another 500 rooms along with 500 villas in phase two. So that's to be a $300 million investment. And of course, it was drawn out, the negotiations in respect to that, for quite some time, but then it seemed to have been sealed, and that the expectation was that construction and work would begin on that development this year. But of course, as we are told, COVID-19 pandemic put a halt in all of that. In any event, the Davis administration has come in, and the Davis administration said that in having reviewed through a committee, subcommittee appointed to undertake that review, that the determination was made that the sales agreement was not in the best interest of the Bahamian people. And they therefore, through the two joint partners, which is really the government, the joint partners that had purchased the hotel to begin with, that joint partnership being a company called Lucayan Renewal Holdings Limited, right? That's one of the joint partners. And the other one being Lucayan Beach Casino Holdings Limited. They agreed together. Those two are owned by the government of the Bahamas, you, the people of the Bahamas. And they agreed to not pursue the purchase agreement between themselves and Bahamas Port Investments Limited. Okay? So as I read it, many things came to my mind. Many questions came to my mind. Many points. And so I want to go over some of them. Let's start before we go to our break with the government canceled the sale. Let me say that again. The government of the Bahamas, the Davis administration, canceled a sale agreement that the Minnis administration, the government, entered into. Let us remember, stop, review, cancel was a major, major hit on the Ingram administration when it came to office following the Christie administration, so much so that the language was picked up by Standards and Poor's International Credit Rating Agency talking about this stock review cancel. And the hit the opposition then, the Christie opposition, was saying was this, and by the time Ray Davis, now our prime minister, was the deputy leader, the hit was this stock review cancel. And Standard & Poor's went on to suggest that it contributed to the slowing of the Bahamian economy, suggested that. At the time, I was the Minister of State for Finance. We thought it was kind of highly political language for them to take up. We actually refuted the claim, but that was a thing. Stock review canceled. I want to read this again for you. I'm reading from the Nassau Guardian. The government has canceled the sale of the Grand Lucayan Resort in Dunbahama to Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and IDM Group. And this according to the Minister of Tourism and Aviation, the Honorable Chester Cooper. When we come back, we're going to talk about a bit some more about this. You're listening to Z-Line. I'm Shabab Rahman, your host.
Z-Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Burger King, Raw Star Assurance, Cable Bahamas, Rev Christmas, the Ministry of Health, AML Foods Limited, and Bamboo Shack.
If you like a hearty, meaty burger, the A1 Steakhouse King at Burger King Nassau has it all. With flame-grilled beef, lots of bacon, cheese, and crispy onions on a sesame seed bun, the only thing that can top this is the tangy flavor of A1 steak sauce. The Steakhouse King is a meat lover's dream, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and hot fries, it's all you need to fill your day. Get your A1 Steakhouse King as a combo or part of the new King's Feast, only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Are you on the move? Busy running errands? Do you have so much to do that you don't have a lot of time on your hands? Have you gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? Well, if you haven't, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be the one for you. It's one and done and fully vaccinated for now. Yes, you only need one jab of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and you're done. Lower your risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Babu Shack encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babu Shack reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you can join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. No, we're not quite doing any Christmas thing today, but talking a little bit of policy, government policy, policy relevant to Grand Bahama. That's where I am. That's where I'm talking to you from. If you want to call us, please feel free to do so on 323-6232. That's 323-6232, or you can call us on 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. So I'm talking about the Grand Ukiah, which sailed to Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and ITM Group has been canceled, according to a Nassau Guardian report and according to comments attributed to the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation, canceled. And I took note of that, given the huge amount of commentary that comes and that came from any number of places related to this stop, review, and cancel policy, which people complained about. Now, someone might call me and say, oh, well, they had a right to cancel this one, et cetera. That's far from my point. Because in all the commentary I heard, it sounded to me like this isn't a thing the government should do. You should honor the agreements that are signed by a former administration. Now, mind you, I am the one who said on this show often, I don't see anything wrong with any administration reviewing, stopping, or canceling any project, any agreement that it deems not in the interest of the Bahamian people when it comes to office. So I am not in a disagreement with stopping, reviewing, and canceling any project if the government deems it in the interest of the Bahamian people to do so. But that was not the view of many. And maybe some of you who were among those, maybe you could explain to us why this makes sense and the others didn't, even though, in point of fact, I was not aware of any canceled projects under the Ingram administration at the time, that the point of, it was more about the stopping and reviewing. But we have had many of cabinet ministers in the Davis administration speak to reviewing the BPL, LNG deal, reviewing the promotions of the former administration, civil servants. So reviewing, stopping and canceling have been, and again, to my mind, not a criticism, have been things which this administration has been prepared to do in the interest of the Bahamian people, are the words. Now, that's my second point. This term, in the interest of the Bahamian people, not just in the best, listen to that word, best interest of Bahamians. Best. You know, there's good, there's better, and there's best. Best is very ambitious. If you're going to do your best, that's an ambitious aspiration to have. Noble, very ambitious. Maybe you could help me, please, listeners, please help me. Text me, call me. What does in the best interest of Bahamians mean? What does that mean? Because I don't know a single thing that I could think of right now that the government has done. Notice what I said, the government has done. That, let me modify that. No, I cannot modify it. I don't know anything that the government has done that some Bahamians have not disagreed with and did not think it was in their interest. Not a thing, not independence, not national insurance. I cannot think, not increasing the school age, leaving age, not increasing the age of consent, not increasing bail for severe criminal activity, not hanging murderers. I can't think of a single thing that some Bahamians have said, no, that's not in our best. So what is in the best interest of Bahamians? Who gets to define that? Who gets to define that? And oftentimes when the government says it, like in the context of this, the Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation said, yesterday this deal was canceled because it was not in the best interest of Bahamians. Meaning what? What does that mean? So had the deal gone through, had the Royal Caribbean and those built all those hotel rooms, create and generate all those jobs, create and generate new business activities and opportunities, and bring a new tourism numbers to the island, why would that not have been in the best interest of Bahamians? What did that mean? What does that mean? What does best interest mean? Folks, this is your country. This is my country. We're the ones who get to, we're the ones who, in whose interest, whose best interest is being protected, promoted. What does that mean? Best interest. This text says, the Minister Lang, the agreement was canceled by mutual agreement of all parties. The Guardian story is defective. Oh, the Guardian story isn't, I don't think, defective. And that point of cancellation, I was going to raise, because you're right, in the Guardian story, that didn't seem to come out clearly. But that two people agree to cancel something doesn't answer the question of what the meaning of best interest is for me. I'm sorry, because one of the parties that canceled signed the last one. Okay? So you have to think through these things. one of those parties signed the last agreement. So they thought it was good. That's why they signed it. Otherwise, they were either ignorant or deceived or something. So what does it mean to tell me today? Well, they both canceled it by mutual consent. Let me tell you something. If the government of the Bahamas tells somebody that they're not willing to proceed forward and they have some conditions attached that the government was going to do for them, well, why do you think that they would proceed forward? What wisdom would suggest that they do so? Anyway, but since you went there, I asked for the definition of in the interest of. I don't get one yet. I got a cancel by mutual consent. That's not what I'm asking about. Mutual consent is not best interest of Bahamians. I'm asking, do you know, do you care, do you understand what it means for something to be in your best interest? That's all I'm asking. Okay? All right, maybe we don't get an answer to that. Because to be honest with you, I've been around a long time, studied government, politics, business, and there really is no clear explanation for that. There's no clear definition, but there's no agreed definition for best interest. None whatsoever. It is simply whatever the people who have the power to do a thing determines. That's it. The best interest of you is whatever the government, the administration at the time defines it as. If they believe it's not in your best interest to have 100 jobs, but that it's in your best interest to have 120 jobs, then best interest is 120 jobs. If they believe that it's not in your best interest to have 80 jobs, but not the best interest is to have 100 jobs, then the definition is 100 jobs. Remember before it was 120 jobs. So best interest is defined by whoever is governing the country. It is as vague and as undefined as you could ever get. It leaves all kinds of room open for the government to simply determine, I'm not doing this, I don't agree with it, and so forth. And that's a legitimate power the government has. It's not a criticism I'm making. It's a legitimate power. I just want you to know, you ain't gonna find no definition agreed by everybody. This is best interest of anybody. Especially when it's best interest of, say, Bahamians, best interest of Americans, best interest of Jamaicans, best interest of Barbadians or Bajans. It's not gonna happen. It is simply, if the government at the time judges that this is best interest, that's what it is. So, with that said, let me tell you what one of the things that the Deputy Prime Minister highlighted as being not in the best interest of Bahamians. In the story in The Guardian, it says, and I quote, for example, the Minnis administration via Lucayan Renewal Holdings Limited had agreed to lend money to Bahamas Port Investments Limited to renovate and develop the property. In summary, the deal was not a win-win for Bahamian people. Now, if this is true, and I have no reason to believe it is not true, because I don't believe that the Deputy Prime Minister would not be honest about the things, I would love to see the deal myself. This is one of the challenges I have with the way we handle things in the Bahamas. So my hope is that the Davis administration will lay before Parliament the agreement signed by the Minnis administration or the two entities that the government owns on behalf of the people and the Royal Caribbean and ITM group. I'm hoping they lay that. Then we can read for ourselves and not have to speculate about whether or not a thing that was said is true. Because listen to me, if it is true that the Minnis administration signed a deal saying that an entity it has will lend monies to a private multi, probably billion conglomerate. That would be stunning. That would be one of the most shocking things I have ever heard in my entire life. A government do. Seriously? Listen to me. This is the government of the Bahamas, which is borrowing money, using an entity it owns to, which would have to borrow money because it ain't got no revenue, to lend money to an entity that owns a ton of cruise lines all over the world to do an investment in the Bahamas? Listen to me. You are trying to do investments because you're trying to get capital injection into the country. If you borrow the money, what are you waiting to borrow the money from? Is you can borrow it in billion dollars, you can borrow it. That doesn't even make sense. No sense at all. I cannot fathom on the face of what the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism has said, how that is conceivable. Listen, Minister of Tourism, you are out there. The former Minister of Tourism, you are out there. Denizio Diaga, you are out there, sir. Please give us an explanation. Please talk to us about this. Please. Current Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Tourism, please lay before Parliament the deal, the sales agreement. Please, please lay it so we can read it ourselves. Because this is incredible. This is scandalous if it is true. I mean, seriously? And you say that they were going to lend monies to the Port Investments Limited Group. That's Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines and IDM. How much money? The renovations and stuff is supposed to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. How much money was the government going to lend them? How much? What did the deal say? Come on, man. These statements beg a great deal of questions. Beg a great deal of questions. Let me read it for y'all again. This is Travis Cartwright Carroll's article in the National Guardian, quoting the Minister of Tourism, who says, for example, the Minister Administration, via Lucayan Renewal Holdings Limited, that's one of its entities, it's one of the government's entities, had agreed to lend money to Bahamas Port Investments Limited to renovate and develop the property. Now listen, the government does lend money even now through its entities, you know. The Bahamas Development Bank lends money, it's owned by the government of the Bahamas. So the government borrows money to give to Bahamas Development Bank to lend out money. But that's Bahamas Development Bank now. Lending the Bahamians to pursue businesses in the Bahamas. Okay, there's a taxpayer's money. I can understand that, no problem. But you can borrow money to lend money to people who don't need you to borrow money? we can take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabar Lang. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road. This is issue.
Yeah.
If you like a hearty, meaty burger, the A1 Steakhouse King at Burger King Nassau has it all. With flame-grilled beef, lots of bacon, cheese, and crispy onions on a sesame seed bun, the only thing that can top this is the tangy flavor of A1 steak sauce. The Steakhouse King is a meat lover's dream, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and hot fries, it's all you need to fill your day. Get your A1 Steakhouse King as a combo or part of the new King's Feast, only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Are you on the move? Busy running errands? Do you have so much to do that you don't have a lot of time on your hands? Have you gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? Well, if you haven't, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be the one for you. It's one and done and fully vaccinated for now. Yes, you only need one jab of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and you are done. Lower your risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
To Z Live, I'm Shabar Gulang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259, please feel free to do so. Or you can text me on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So we're talking about the Royal Caribbean, the Grand Lucayan Hotel Resorts canceled sales agreement. And when we left, I was saying how there is a former minister out there and he can speak to this. And he has, the Minister de Aguilar, by way, somebody, one of my keen-eyed and very attentive listeners sent me e-news, eyewitness news story in which the Aguilar says we got screwed. Now, if you read that heading, you might get the wrong point because he was not talking about the borrowing, lending money to Royal Caribbean. That's not what he was talking about at all. Read the story. The story was he was saying we got screwed because there was a negotiation that the Royal Caribbean people were having with the port developers, the Freeport Harbor people, that it was a condition of the sales agreement going through that they were doing. And that unless that agreement with the harbor was concluded, there was no way their agreement could go forward. And he said, because of that, there was 2 years of delay. And in the 2 years of delay, COVID kicked in and caused their cash position to deteriorate such that they kept coming back for more and more concessions. He said, had they not had that condition and had they seen it, they would have done something different. So he wasn't talking about what was in the deal related to lending money to Royal Caribbean and IBM Group. Let's be clear on that, right? Yeah, in fact, when asked about speaking to the best interest part of the thing not being in the best interest, the story said he refused to comment. Okay, so you have to read the story to get the real story. Someone texting us says Cooper said $50 million today. He needs to have a more thorough explanation of the terms and table the deal. Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. I mean, listen to me, folks. The accusation made by the Minister of Tourism about that deal is a very serious one. It is serious because it is unfathomable. Well, anyways, let's look at it like this, right? So let's suppose the government says, you know what, we want this deal to go forward. We think that the redevelopment is going to be in the best interest of the Grand Bahama, so it's going to create jobs and business opportunities and so forth. If we could borrow money for 6% and the Royal Caribbean, which is good for it, would be prepared to pay us back at 10, 15%. Okay, maybe you got my ear. Maybe you have my ear now because banks, let me tell you all, banks borrow money at low interest and they lend out money at high interest. So banks lend out borrowed money, your money in the bank, deposited, which you get 0.01, 0.02, 0.03% is monies that the bank borrows from you and lends out at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12%, depending on the loan. So borrowing money to lend out money, you know, that's possible, but only when it is a profitable, safe, and prudential arrangement. But I can't know, you can't know whether it is a profitable, safe, and prudential arrangement for the government of the Bahamas to enter into an arrangement to lend money to Royal Caribbean, IPM, unless we know the terms. What? Okay, so they agreed to lend money. How much money? On what terms? What returns? We don't know. So it's just sitting out there. On the face of it, it seems incredulous that a government of the Bahamas that faced a $1.3 billion deficit, borrowing a $800-plus million deficit, $500 before those 2 years, would go ahead and try to borrow money for a big company that could and should be able on its own to borrow money. On the face of it, that sounds insane. But to be fair, if the Minister of Tourism puts it out there, it would be useful to have the details ourselves. Let us read it. The government says it's going to be transparent and accountable. Just table the stuff. And then if it's as incredible as you say, it can't be to the benefit of the former administration. It could only be to the benefit of yourselves for being wise enough to say, that's ridiculous. This text says, Mr. Lang, it is in my best interest when I don't have to lend someone money to purchase something I just bought them. What? No, but in this case, you didn't buy it from them. So don't. That'd be false. They bought it from Hutchison Whampoa. They didn't lend Hutchison Whampoa any money. They then sold it or entered an agreement to sell it to Royal Caribbean and ITM. So they're not the same people. Okay. Says, as for the jobs we will still be there until it is sold, even to another investor. As for what jobs will still be there, whatever job you're talking about. You mean the people who work at the hotel now? But we're trying to do better than the people who work at the hotel now. We're trying to get people who don't work in Grand Bahama jobs now. That's what the redevelopment is about. So it won't still be there if the redevelopment doesn't take place, okay? And yes, you'll need another investment, but you gotta find it. Right, you have to find them. And I don't have any doubt you can find them. That's not the point that I'm making in this discussion at all. It says to me that company have already benefited greatly from the Bahamas no more. Okay. We got some additional text here. This text says, we pay tourists to come here and we pay investors to come here and invest. That's funny. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. The bottom line is the deal is not a good one, and I really don't care what you have to say. but I'm not disagreeing with you that the deal is a bad deal. See, maybe your political bias or maybe your hateration for me is getting in the way of listening to me. I'm not criticizing the Deputy Prime Minister at all. I am saying that if what he says is so, it's incredible. But I'm just saying, can we see it also for ourselves? So your sensitivity and you know, let me help you all go into the new year in a better way, please. I really don't care what you say. Why are you listening to me? I mean, think about that. You know how insane it sounds for you to be sitting down listening to someone who what you say don't you don't care about? That is insane. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. We have a caller on the line.
Yes, Mr. Lang, how you doing? Selling John.
Hey, I'm
going to join you on the other side of the show because I'm in a meeting right now that we're winding up. Right? I was listening to you. But I just wanted to answer this so people could digest this over the break. If I buy something for $60 million.
Right.
And so, or you bought something for $60 million. When you come to the table, I say to you that whatever price we agree to, let's arbitrarily agree that we agree to $100 million. I say to you that I need you to carry a note for $50 million on that $100 million I agree to. So, in essence, I would be borrowing from you to finance the deal. And that it's almost identical to the deal that we currently have where we bought it for $60 million and Hutchison Van Poor carried the note for $30 million. And so I think what has happened is the investors haven't seen the precedent being set on that particular deal, simply say, okay, we'll carry this. We will, for lack of a better word, force them to carry 50% of the purchase price.
No, except, see, Alan, you are absolutely right if what you were saying was true, but that's not what the story says. Hold on a minute. The story says lending money for the renovation.
Okay. Oh, I haven't read that. I didn't read that.
Yeah, that's the difference. That's a different equation. This is not to carry the purchase. The story says for lending for the renovation.
Oh, that would be a different story. I'm going to read the story over the break, and then because I have some commentary concerning where Grand Bahama was, is, and needs to be. So I will quickly read that story because that makes a whole different argument because that then becomes an additional monies that is actually has to be outlaid as opposed to what's already on the table.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate your point. Thanks a lot.
Right.
Yeah, just to read again, this is what is attributed to the Minister of Tourism, Chester Cooper, in quote. For example, the Minister's administration via Lukayan Renewal Holdings Limited had agreed to lend money to Bahamas Port Investments Limited to renovate and develop the property. Full stop. In summary, the deal was not a win for the Bahamian people. That is attributed to the Deputy Prime Minister. So that's a different story than saying, okay, I'll buy it, but since you already were carrying a note for the formal purchase, I want to carry that note, and that's a different story altogether because that wouldn't change anything in the scheme of things. This is a whole new kettle of fish. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shabar Rolani, your host. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Already get more channels, more sports, and more speed. Now we're giving more Christmas with up to $250,000 in cash and prizes. Sign up or upgrade to Rev Trio to win prizes like rent and mortgage payments, trips to see your favorite sports teams, plus up to $20,000 in our Rev Cash Vault. Want to win more Christmas? Call 601-8992 today and ask for Rev Trio. Rev. You and us together.
Start the year making all the right money moves. Budgeting and saving? Yes. Investing? Check. But what if you could do more? With an RF brokerage account, you can get priority access to local investment opportunities right as they come to the market. Never miss a bond or new share offering again. Plus, you can house all your investments in one place and benefit from expert investment advice. Contact us at brokerage@rfgroup.com to start doing more today. Some conditions apply. RF, money at work.
Hi, I'm Levin Miller, and I want to take this time to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a most prosperous New Year.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Babushak encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babushak reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Yes, sir. This Christmas season, let's get aboard that Babushak kindness campaign, because we can certainly, certainly all use more kindness, not only in terms of receiving it, but in terms of giving it. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we've been talking about the Alukaya deals cancellation and some of the comments made by the Deputy Prime Minister about it. We have some more to say. This story gets curiouser and curiouser to me. We'll talk about comments Royal Caribbean said, as noted in the news piece just a minute ago, but let's read some of your comments. This text says, Sean, food for thought. You are aware that Mrs. Pinder, what's this? That's a business note. I'm sorry. That's a business note. We're going to read that business note later. All right. So it gets curiouser and curiouser because Royal Caribbean has said that they are still interested in purchasing the hotel. Remember now, the government just canceled the purchase between its entities and Royal Caribbean and its ITM partner. Royal Caribbean is saying it's still interested in purchasing the hotel, but is looking for a new partner to do so. Okay? So did Royal Caribbean really mutually agree to cancel it or want to say, or is it that the other partner wasn't the partner it wants to work with anymore, or didn't want to work with, because Royal Caribbean says it's looking for a better partner. Really? But they signed the deal with that partner that's no longer now in the deal, and they're still interested in purchasing. It's something. It is something. But, you know, circumstances change, people think differently, and so, okay, that's fair. That can happen. It's fair. It can happen. It gets curiouser and curiouser, for sure. It gets curiouser. So, again, what's in our best interest? Whatever the government says. The government was going to lend money to the investors to develop the property. That's really curious. We need more information. We need the files ourselves. And so the Deputy Prime Minister says this effectively cancels the agreement between the government of the Bahamas and RCL ITM for the sale of the grant. We are pleased to note that BPI maintains an interest, an ongoing commitment to the development of a world-class port facility in Freeport. So thank goodness, that's great news. That's great news for, I mean, if you think that world-class port facility in Freeport is good news, then that's great news that they are still interested to do so. And they confirmed that in the news story we just heard. So RCL claims it's committed to Grand Bahama Shipyard, in which it holds a 40% interest. Yes, in case you didn't know, RCL and their rival, what's the other big company? It says Royal Caribbean and then there's who? Oh, goodness. Anyway, it's in Norwegian. Anyway, the two big shipping cruise companies, they own the shipyard here in Grand Bahama. Though they rival with each other, they jointly own the shipyard. It's one of the unique business arrangements in the world. So, you know, and they have some interesting ways of dealing with that rivalry in booking the ships for business. I happen to know it quite well. But it's good news that they are still interested. The Deputy Prime Minister says that there's still a great number of, he says there's a good number of credible people who are interested in the property to purchase, and that they weren't going to dilly-dally with this. They expect and hoped to be able to conclude something sooner rather than later. And so it would be interesting to see both arrangements, one, the one that has been canceled, and the one that eventually might get signed under the Minister administration. I know for Grand Bahama, the bottom line is bring us some economic activity that can benefit us. That's the bottom line. Yes, Carnival Cruise Line. That's right. The big two are Carnival Cruise Lines and Royal Caribbean, and Carnival Cruise Lines and Royal Caribbean together own the Grand Bahama Shipyard. They are the partners in the Grand Bahama Shipyard. Those two companies, so they rival each other. They are competitive. They are competing companies. They compete against each other. So if you imagine, you know, these ships have to dock every so often for renovations and repair, and you want to make sure that you get an early placement in the docking so you can get out there and put that ship out to sea, because the longer that ship is under repair and waiting for repair, and these repairs are mandatory, they don't have a choice in coming in off after a certain time to have these ships repaired. If you imagine two rival companies needing a ship repair company that has limited docking space, they have to have a very creative arrangement in their partnerships to ensure that they're not shanking each other in. And they do. I happen to be aware of the way they get it done. It's very creative and very fair, and they all live with it happily and so forth. So those are the two big giant companies for sure. So Royal Caribbean, still interested. We'll see how it all plays out. I just thought that there was so much in this situation that, you know, represented an eye-opener in some instances and a learning experience in other instances. You know, how sometimes our language could change depending on where we sit. So you're in opposition, you stop reviewing cancer is bad, you're in government, stop reviewing cancer is necessary because it's in the interest of the Bahamian people. What's in the interest of the Bahamian people? One of the most vague and generalized things you could ever find, but in the end, something that is defined by the people who are in power and they have a right to do so. You know, you enter into agreement. So first of all, this is the other thing that I was curious about. If you listen to the former minister of tourism, Dionisio de Aguilar, he's saying that we could never conclude that agreement, that sales agreement, because because of this sub-agreement that they were seeking to, the two companies, the investors were seeking to negotiate with the harbor company. Now, I know some of my very knowledgeable friends are out there. To the best of my knowledge, was the sales agreement actually consummated? Was it executed? Was it executed? I do not recall that prior to election, an announcement was made that the sales agreement was concluded. I don't recall that, but I could be mistaken, right? I recall frustration on the part of Michael Scott about it, who was chairman of the hotel corporation. I recall lots of commentary about the delay and we expect it soon. And then, well, there's another delay. But I do not recall if it was actually executed. And if, therefore, it wasn't executed, is it right to say that the sales agreement was canceled? Or is it right to say that the proposed sales agreement was canceled? If a condition, subcondition was not affected and therefore affected the sale, how is it possible to be canceling an agreement that could not have been consummated without the sub-agreement having been executed? So is it right, is it true that the government canceled the sale of the hotel to this group? Or is it that there was a proposed sale that the government said will not go forward? Again, maybe someone who's out there can help me understand that I'm wrong, that I never saw anything indicating that the sale actually went through. This text says, help me understand this. We're in massive debt from borrowing settlement. How could we be in a position to lend the investors monies for the purchase and development of the property? Am I missing something yet? Well, that's what I spent, basically, my friend, an hour trying to ascertain. Now, as I said, if the government thinks like, okay, if I borrow money and if I was going to lend them $100 million and got it at 6%, but I could lend it out to them at 10%, 12%, that's a good one for the government. But I can assure you that no circumstance under which Royal Caribbean is going to borrow money from the government of the Bahamas at 10%, 7%, 8%, 9%, not a possible chance, when they could probably go there and get that money on the cheap, either through equity or through borrowings themselves. I don't see it. I am glad I didn't. So I don't see it. All right. Okay. So again, one of my keen-eyed listeners sends me a Guardian article, September 10th, 2021, says Mandukayan sale in the air as general elections loom. So this is September 10th, 2021. The election is on September 16th, am I wrong? And the Mandukayan deal sale is in the air. So what was canceled? What was canceled? It could only be a proposed deal. There wasn't any deal. So can we see the proposed deal where the government was going to lend money to these folks to renovate and redevelop? They didn't just say renovate, you know, renovate and redevelop a property with 500 rooms. Right? So I'd like to see that. So thank you for sending me that notice. As you said, as the Guardian noted, in the air 6 days before. Now, as far as I'm aware, over that next 6 days, nothing was consummated. So there was never a deal. But if you had in your proposed deal to lend, I'd like to see the terms of that. I'd really like to see what the circumstances were in that respect. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pulled up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of app.
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Nahaja Black, and I am wishing you and your family happiness, joy, peace, and prosperity this holiday season and throughout the new year from all of us at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
If you like a hearty, meaty burger, the A1 Steakhouse King at Burger King Nassau has it all. With flame-grilled beef, lots of bacon, cheese, and crispy onions on a sesame seed bun, the only thing that can top this is the tangy flavor of A1 steak sauce. The Steakhouse King is a meat lover's dream, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and hot fries, it's all you need to fill your day. Get your A1 Steakhouse King as a combo or part of the new King's Feast, only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we have been speaking about the canceled sales agreement for the Grand Lucayan Hotel. Lots of questions remain from what information exists in the public domain today. So I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm raising questions about what is being said, most especially what's being said about the government seeking to finance some part, all of the proposal. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, if you're still there. Go ahead, caller. No? Well, if you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259, 325-4259. You know, you are always going to have in politics that kind of, what we call it, one-upsmanship and so forth. Because if you are in a rivalry, you are going to expose the weaknesses, misgivings, or misdoings of your opponent. So that's going to happen. And so you expect that. But what we have to also remember is it's important to be accountable to the public whose interest you serve. And the public is always served with accountability where they have information. And so while you can make your accusations, if you're the government, against the opposition, or the opposition, if you're the opposition against the government, it's always useful to present to the public information that it can look at itself and kind of discern and understand and evaluate the details for yourself. And that way, you know, you don't have to have any misgivings about whether somebody's misleading you or misinforming you or just underinforming in that way. And so I would really encourage the government to table this proposed, and I have to call it a proposed sales agreement, because as we've learned, up to September 10th, there was nothing executed about this agreement prior to election. Election was 6 days later. And so it would be useful to see what was in that proposed agreement so that we can get some clarity on that, those claims in respect of this purchase. You know, doing something with Grand Lucay and Grand Bahama is very important. Very important. You know, Grand Bahama was for a long time looked at as a industrial kind of island, you know, because you had Barco, you had Syntex, you had Franklin Chemicals at one point, and then PharmaChem. You had all these, they were major industrials operating in the Grand Bahama area, employing lots of people, creating a fair deal of economic activity. Then you have the government operations down here employing a fair number of people. There's the police, there's the customs people, there's the immigration, there's the civil servants and so forth. You had lots of that. And then you had the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the kind of quasi-government capacity, hiring lots of people and what have you. Then you had the Freeport Development Company, you know, maybe a smaller operation, but hiring people, and the sanitation people and all that kind of stuff going on. But while all of that remained a part of Grand Bahama's economy, it would have been naive to underestimate the extent to which tourism played a big part in Grand Bahama's vibrancy. Those hotel workers, from the maids to the bellboys to the people who worked in engineering, to the people who worked at the front desk, to the people who worked the pools and all those kinds of stuff, those were lots of jobs supporting lots of families. And then there was the taxi drivers and the tour operators and the buses and the food. So all of these people, the marketplace, the public kind of, all being supported by the tourism economy of Grand Bahama. And it was not small a contributor to what Grand Bahama needed and required. And the extraction of a huge portion of the tourism economy from Grand Bahama has been a big part of why this island as a whole has suffered economically. Many people, their talents, their skill sets were in the tourism sector. Bartenders who all their lives, that's the job they did. Right? That's the job they did. People who worked in the restaurants, that's the job they did, catering to those tourists. They knew it, and they were very good at it. They were courteous. They were knowledgeable about all the details of actually providing fine dining. They got knocked out when the Princess Towers got knocked out, when the Atlantic Hotel got knocked out, when Lucaya deteriorated, the Kim, and then went and never really took off. And so that has been a big damper on this economy. And quite frankly, Grand Bahama's vibrancy as a destination isn't likely to come back without tourism. Other things can fill that gap for sure, but they will not do it as significantly, as quickly, and as robustly as tourism, as hotel accommodations, entertainment, and those kinds of stuff. We could cry all we want. We don't want to be so tourist dependent, blah, 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 blah. I hear you, my friend, I hear you. But I say to you, yes, we should diversify and get our more things. So let's add to a robust tourism sector of Grand Bahama. Let's add to the industrial sector of Grand Bahama, manufacturing things, agricultural things. Yes, let's add them, not let's talk about trading off. There is a sizable segment of Grand Bahama's population that needs that tourism sector. That's where their skill set is. That's where they are comfortable. That's where they know. And too many of them have actually decided they needed to go to Nassau to make money, and they would love to return home to Freeport, to Grand Bahama. They would love to do so. But their skill set is in the tourism sector. So now they're working in the hotels sector, the restaurant sector in Grand Bahama and New Providence, where or Abaco or, well, not Abaco so much these days, Exuma or Bimini, but they'd like to be home. And they're not going to get to come in the way they would like to come unless there is that tourism sector. So a lot rides on being able to make that hotel property work, because that's a huge investment. I don't know if some of you people from Grand Nassau know. Y'all ever seen? Go Google search it. Go Google search the Grand Lucaya, and you see that it looks like a cruise ship, actually, the way it's built. And what that big structure you see, that's just one property. You have to go further down to see the other property there and see where the other things that they had proposed to do would be. And then there's a little small, not so significant casino, right? But if that could get rolling, that alone picks Grand Bahama by about a quarter, maybe 30%. Picks it up. Gets lots of people happy again if it continues to thrive. That alone would do it. Get another two vibrant properties operating in Grand Bahama, just two. Vibrant tourism resort added to Grand Lucaya, and this place is buzzing. That's it. That alone, it buzzes. Those three vibrant properties, along with the cruise passenger uptick, gets Grand Bahama buzzing, humming again, right? And that's the short to medium term fix for this economy. The medium to long term fix would be adding to them some robust manufacturing enterprises, some significant high-end agricultural fishery enterprises, some significant developments in the ICT space, maybe some offerings in that wellness industry. And again, coming to Grand Bahama is a significant offshore university. Significant. Them people are going to put something on some huge land. That's gonna be a significant help also to Grand Bahama. So you get those combinations of things going, man, this place is buzzing. And what's gonna happen is, as it happened in the 60s and 70s, mommy, am I right? When lots of Nassauvians came to Grand Bahama and ended up in the place working and residing and living, you get that happening again. But it's not going to happen taking the tourism component out of the mix. Now, one of the problems I've had speaking to some of the principals at the port on occasions in the past is their vision for Grand Bahama did not see tourism as a big part of the product. They did not. And I thought that, and I still think that that's short-sighted. Because when they think tourism, I think they think of a more static, come here for the land, for the sand, sun, and sea thing. But tourism is many, many different things now. People are traveling for many different reasons, not just sun, sand, and sea. Sun, sand, and sea is still a big part of why they can do so. But people travel now on graveyard tours, right? People travel for bird watching. People travel for eco tours, right? So there are lots of reasons people travel. And once you create entertaining products for people of a diverse nature, people, you can get a diverse group of people coming because of it. And so to be dismissive of tourism and to have this same old silly argument that tourism is too unstable, it's really silly, really. The largest, this probably the second largest economic sector, and I think maybe the first largest employer of people, a thing that many, many states in the United States and countries around the world are now running and chasing after, we think is unstable and therefore unreliable. I think it's a mistake. Tourism has served us exceptionally well, created lots of prosperity for the Bahamas. And yes, it has its ebbs and flows, but it is and has been a reliable economic sector over many years. So say no answer for 10 plus minutes. Somebody's trying to call into the show. Try again, my friend. I think I got a note about a call, and then I tried, nobody was on the line. So if you want to call back, go ahead and we'll get it in for you. Right? And so I think doing something reasonable with the Grand Lucayan could be very helpful to this island's economy. The developers have to have means, man. They got to have means, but not only have money though, because Hutchison Whampoa had money. Let me say it again. Hutchison Whampoa that built Grand Lucayan didn't ask the government for a dime. They built that thing, $400+ million. They carried that thing for years, making no profits. They had money, right? Significant money, but they couldn't make it work. You don't just need a money group. You need a group with the ability and vision to have a global brand that attracts people here. You got that. It got that. You have to have a compelling product. So we need some really good, innovative, creative thinkers and developers to make this thing work, man. We don't want another boom and bust scenario. You know, while you're building, you get a boom. When you first start, you get a boom, but then 3, 4, 5 years later, you're running down the road. So you need the people who they're making it work elsewhere. You want them to come help make it work here. So I'm happy that we have lots of people showing an interest. But we got to have some people showing some interest that themselves are compelling targets for the venture that they are trying to apply in the Bahamas. Because we don't want to have to go at this failing again. We got caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello, go ahead, caller. No?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, about the deal with the hotel and stuff, right? I'm the first time someone came into the country with no money and we fund it. Or we loaned the money from our
bank. Yeah, give me another person who did it.
Cable Bahamas.
Cable Bahamas.
To do that.
But Cable Bahamas wasn't fully funded by Bahamian dollars. That's not true. What happened was they included an offering to the public because the government required it when they came and brought their investment. They didn't need that.
Yeah, they needed that, man. The bottom line is they needed to make it sound good, but like saying doing offerings and stuff. But they needed the funding to help bring that up. Because if you check the issue of the company,
your premise is not correct. You said they're not the first to come in and need Bahamian monies to get going. And I'm saying to you, that's not what happened. When they came in, that was not what happened. It wasn't.
If I did my homework correctly, when they first came in, they requested, right? They didn't have the sufficient funds. They made offerings to make up that money to start up the company.
That's not that, but that's not true. Mr. Ingram negotiated with them to have that, to have an offering to the public included in what they were doing.
The same Mr. Ingram who sold Patelco and the people who bought it turned right back around and sold it for even more.
But if you want to criticize that, that's fine. But don't bring your misinformation here at the same time. But criticizing, that's fine. But if you're going to speak to me, you want to make sure you line up your facts.
Yeah, but like I said.
And don't try to hide behind your criticism now when your facts don't line up.
You made it sound good when you said they emailed.
I don't get to make it sound good. I just give you the facts. You were trying to make it sound bad.
You were trying to make it sound bad
with misinformation.
Into selling shares and stuff into the company to make it solid. The company hard money.
Yeah, but my brother, let me explain to you, right? We don't need to argue about it. You have your point of view and you tried to make it sound bad. You say I try to make it sound good, so we had a stalemate. No problem. I think we have another call on the line.
Yes.
Hey, Seattle, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Just let me say, like, I saw what you touched on the hospitality and tourism.
Right.
Oftentimes, when you say you're divesting out of a particular industry, you must be going into one that's significantly larger or has a greater impact. It's hospitality and tourism being one of the 10 largest income industries. In fact, countries such as those who depended exclusively on oil and other resources is rapidly diversifying their economy into the tourism market because of the global growth and foreseeable growth, more so even going to be accelerated with this new incarnation of technology. Hospitality is, for people to understand, hospitality is what people experience and tourism is what people do. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about this whole concept of what Grand Bahama can be, are you still there?
I'm listening.
Yeah, remember, see, a lot of people don't understand. I remember growing up in Grand Bahama. I remember growing up in West End, the Jack Tar Village. I remember Shalimar. I remember the Holiday Inn, Indies House, Freeport Inn, Oceania.
The Princess Towers.
El Casino, right? Grand Bahama Club, Castaways, that's still there. Butlins Vacation Village, Atlantic Beach Resort.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people talk about Grand Bahama not being a tourism as part of its destination, I know what you said about the new owners may have taken a position. But I think...
No, this was the old owners. These are old owners. I talked to them.
Okay.
I don't want to call no names. I'm talking about the old owners.
Okay, but I see when I see Grand Bahama as a whole, not just Freeport as people refer to as Grand Bahama, I see a tremendous opportunity, more so in the 21st century. But I think when you use the word that we need a major investor, I think would be... There's been a global shift on how capitalization occurs. And one of the biggest problems we have, and I think it's a statement that nothing for us without us, is that for Grand Bahamians, business people and residents alike, decisions that always seem to be made in the absence of them. In the purest sense, you know, yes, we do have representative, et cetera, in government, but I'm saying involvement of conversation and the intellectual capital that resides in Grand Bahama from its old days to its current time to even those that see the future. So when you talk about this major brand, I think if the Bahamas government would just pause for a minute, I think infrastructurally, you could talk about the other islands, but infrastructurally, geolocation, technologically, airlift, harbors, everything, Grand Bahama has one of the greatest potential for the recovery of the Bahamian economy. The problem is that we've never had a conversation to recast Grand Bahama, if you want to use the previous brand, or to cast a new brand of what Grand Bahama can be, so that we could look at the segments. We talk about these blue, orange, green, aquamarine, knowledge economy, digital economy, conceptual economy, circular economy, all of these different things now, and the blue is the same with the ocean economy. We've never sat and say, okay, and I put to you that every single one of those seven descriptions can fit into Grand Bahama comfortably with very little need for infrastructural preparedness, except for the influx of capital. And so when you talk about this, which is part of the Free National Movement statement, I think the Economic Recovery Committee, and very integrated into the Progressive Liberal Party 2021 manifesto, the potential is there for growth. But even though you put these smaller things in, like you own a restaurant before, you know, you had pancake, you had eggs, you had ham, you had something, but that doesn't mean anything unless you could actually attach that to a brand that people begin to recognize them, and they say, get pancakes, let's go to this place, let's do whatever. And so what we've lacked is the imagination to define Grand Bahama for what it is. And I for me personally, I think that that should have been the responsibility of the Grand Bahama Port Authority and Hutchison Wampum.
But I think we also miss, though, that brands don't start out popular or well known. KFC didn't. IHOP didn't. People create brands. Over time, your success in servicing your customers. So that's why people keep trying at it.
Is that when you have a concept where, when you talk about those seven different industries, more so for tourism and hospitality, which is almost instantaneous in the purest sense, because you could sustain an economy with a proper hospitality and tourism environment. Because it requires everything that we talk about in each of these economies requires a build-out. So a proper executed, you have people doing this every day, young people.
Alan, I got you, but I got to take my last break. Right. I got to take my last break. So you could just taper it off for me, and then I got to take my break.
Yeah, I'm simply saying is that when you, just for hospitality or any of these other industries, the construction industry carries many economies around the world. And so when you actually define the future today and break it down into segments where you literally have behemoths themselves actively involved, like we use hospitality example, 20,000 rooms needed for Grand Bahama, that, if you put it in rooms of 20, you have 1,000 bed boutique hotels. What it is just, and we can eat this in small bites, but it sees a bigger picture. Yeah. And sustain ourselves while we build toward the future.
I got you, my brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot. We're going to take our final break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
If you'd like to make a call,
everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Are you on the move? Busy running errands? Do you have so much to do that you don't have a lot of time on your hands? Have you gotten your COVID-19 vaccine yet? Well, if you haven't, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine may be the one for you. It's one and done and fully vaccinated for now. Yes, you only need one jab of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and you're done. Lower your risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19 by getting vaccinated. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health and this radio station.
With all that's going on in the world, we could all use a little more kindness. Babushak encourages you to join us as we spread and share kindness this holiday season. A kind word or gesture, checking on a friend or loved one, helping a family in need. The little things go a long way. Kindness changes everything. So be an agent of hope. Visit www.bekindbahamas.org and Be Kind Bahamas on social media for updates. Babushak reminds you that a better Bahamas begins with you.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I want to read you something. This is an eyewitness news story. Says a Grand Bahama hotelier yesterday said the island's tourism sector lost the only real driving force it had for 15 to 20 years after Sunwing's exit post-Hurricane Matthew, while suggesting that what Royal Caribbean ITM Group was proposing was not aligned with the island's needs. Magnus Alnabeck, Pelican Bay's general manager, spoke with Eyewitness News following the announcement that the Grand Lucayan sale and Freeport Harbor redevelopment deal had fallen through. I didn't know the full details of the deal that fell through, especially not the financial details. But what I had seen made it look more like a day cruise ship destination with water park than the solid hotel operation with airlift, which is, in my mind, what Grand Bahama Island needs, he said. I don't think we should focus too much on what the government paid for it contra what they can sell it for. He added, the reality is that when Sunwing was told by Hutchison to leave post-Hurricane Matthew, we lost the only real driving force that we have had for 15 to 20 years. If the hotel would have been given for free to a serious operator when government bought it, the gain for the country would have been far greater than when we are dealing with now, what we are dealing with now, having stood virtually empty for 5 years. I absolutely have always highly regarded Mr. Alnabeck. He's knowledgeable about his industry. He runs a property that has fared well despite all the ups and downs and so forth. And I think he makes a lot of sense in respect of that. We have a text here. Let me read for you. This text says, and I want to thank the sender of that article by Alnabeck. Thank you. Magnus is his name. What a great name, Magnus, right? This text says, I still believe the buying of the hotel was a good idea, seeing that the owners at the time wasn't motivated to sell, was willing to sit on it, even to the point of closing. I believe we all agree that the government getting into the hotel business is a bad idea. But now that we own it, we are more motivated to sell. Just need a company with overall plan for its growth. The company said that they are still interested, so the government has something to begin working with. Says, I grew up in Freeport and loved it. The bazaar, the hotels, Mary Staff, Mayfield Park was my playground. Pray for Freeport to come back. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you for sure. So we will see. We'll see. My own, I honestly believe without an abundance of any like hard evidence to support it, I really believe Grand Bahama will see glorious days. Don't ask me when, I don't know. I just believe it. I just believe that one day we will be talking about this place and talking about it in a way that is more complimentary about its economic circumstances than anything else. I truly believe it. And in that day, it'll be a haven of economic prosperity for thousands and thousands of Bahamians. This person says, no, the buying of the hotel was not a good idea. That's someone who disagrees with the previous texter, says, but now that we're stuck with it, I can agree with selling it for less than we paid to the right buyer. Yeah, I agree that whatever the selling is non-issue now. Non-issue. The issue is the broader benefit of the economy by selling it to somebody who can do something fantastic with it. And so I agree with that wholeheartedly. On the buying of the hotel, honestly, I can be honest with you, like I don't care. I care only on the margins to this extent because, see, I happen to know with some nuance on the ground here in Grand Bahama what the closure of that hotel, as meagerly as its circumstances were, was going to mean for Port Lucaya. I just happen to know it. I happen to know it because the owners in Port Lucaya, I happen to know very well. And unless you sat in those restaurants, unless you walked in those stores, unless you talked to those owners and the desperate situation they were in, to hear that the one thing breathing some life into the place was going to close, you might think the government had his heart in the right place. You might think it, but if you don't agree with it, I ain't gonna feel bad for you. I mean, I'm not gonna really row about it. But I can tell you, I happen to know with intimate knowledge, when they thought that thing was gonna close, the Port Lucayan people had said, "We are packing up. We cannot survive that." I'm only telling you. So this person said, I would have rather the government give them corporate welfare. Would have been cheaper. No, it would not. No, corporate welfare could not have done it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, I don't agree with that. Anyways, you know, I think that'll be a running debate for a long time. Says, I don't fully understand. I don't fully understand why would the government purchase a hotel only to sell it? Exactly. And I'm telling you why it did so. The government was responding to the panic on the ground by the folks who were relying on what was left of the hotel to do it. That's what they were relying on. That's what they were relying on. And for the government, for instance, to have given corporate welfare would have meant you should cost out the corporate welfare first. So you have to go and say, okay, how many employees do you have here? What is the extent of those employees' payroll? What's the extent of your operating expenses here? Because you don't just pay payroll. You have to pay the Grand Bahama Power Company. You have to pay sanitation. You have your own shareholders' needs that you have to attend to. You know, you have your vendors to have your credit to and all that kind of stuff. I mean, where does that corporate generosity end in an ongoing operation? You know, and you have to keep doing it at the level you do it. But why though? Because why would someone keep a company open with no customers to come to it? You can sit around at home, the owners, the managers, and all the employees, and sit around home and collect a check from the government, and you're not going to have the companies downtown say, well, why not me? The people in West End and East End say, why not me? And then New Providence say, well, we have issues too. Why not us? That would be a nightmare, I think. A nightmare scenario. But again, you know, it'll be a debate for a long time. Anyway, folks, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I hope and trust you have a great evening. Nahaja Black is up next. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.